Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a chance to come together and worship you. Thank you for your goodness to us in ways we only begin to just scratch the surface of how much you love us. But it is infinite. It is so powerful. It is so real. And Lord, we pray that we would be open this day. We know that there's been challenges in our lives. We know that there's areas that maybe have just some brokenness that we just don't know what to do with. And we pray, Lord, that we would be able to let that go and put it at your feet and be fully present for what you have for us this day. Let us lean into what you have for us. We give you thanks and praise in your name. Amen. This is a powerful scripture, a wonderful promise of scripture, written to a group of Corinthians, if you will, in Corinth, by a gentleman named Paul, a rabbi, a small little Jewish man who had a little bit of an influence when it came to sharing God's hope with the world. And I hope that it will encourage you and challenge you in the same regard, again, even if you're Jets fans. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Wow. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Is the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you about the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest is something that a lot of people don't know about. It's those that have heard about it have heard about it in ways that has not been really that helpful. It's been one of those things of you give to get. And it's interesting. I can talk to people when it comes to their spiritual lives. I can talk to people about their eternal lives. I can talk to people about marital challenges, financial issues. Seem to be those things that if I go there, whoa, I can trust God with my eternity, but trust God with my bank account? Wait a minute here. That can't be right. Come on, sir. You know that God doesn't care about how much money I have. You're right. He doesn't care about how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. He loves you no matter what. If you decide to never support God's kingdom and what he's doing in this world, he still loves you infinitely. So just take that and breathe that in, and that's beautiful. But there will be a day he'll say, what did you do with what I gave you? See, the law of the harvest is all about the seeds we sow. Now think about this. Every one of us is given, if you will, some seed. Here's some wheat seed. And we are given the opportunity to spread it out. We can give as much as we want. In fact, it says give generously in that previous text we just read. And yet, we sometimes have this thing that kind of creeps in, which I know it's not you, it's more me. It's this thing called fear. This fear that kind of, wait a minute, I mean, what if I give too much? I mean, what if the economy takes another downturn? What if, could I outgive God? Well, maybe that's not a genuine fear. But will God really supply all my needs? How can I know? Some of you may have had the opportunity to, if you will, experience a thing called high ropes challenges. Go up to like 20 feet or higher, and you kind of walk across telephone poles, and you kind of jump across things, and you might climb some, if you will, some mountain climbing or rock climbing kind of areas and challenges. All those things are done with a harness, OSHA approved, harness. Now, let me give you a little tip, okay? If you're like, whoa, I could never do that. That just freaks me out. I don't know. It's just heights is not a big thing for me. Or not a good thing for me. Do this. If you're ever in that situation, before you actually go on to the elements and actually test this thing, just test it right where you're at, while you're sitting right above ground. And just hang, and you'll see. You go nowhere. It's amazing the freedom you have, that you know what? I'm good. There's nothing there. I'm good. Those, by the way, can hold like elephants, okay? I might have a little bit of a weight issue, but I'm not no size of an elephant, okay? And so it's one of those where you just go, wait a minute, maybe this can hold me. What would it look like if Christians really believed, if they really believed God didn't need their money, but it was his invitation to get him involved in their finances? Every one of us has had times where we've had more than what we ever needed. Interesting how one of the quickest things that I find in our culture is, what am I going to get next? What do I want? Versus, who needs this? How can I help? I read just one study this past, about 2 weeks ago, that said something that really shocked me. Do you know that this is what the studies show, that on average, Americans today give less now to the local church than they did during the Great Depression. Think about that. I'm like, no, that can't be right. 3 to 5% of all Christians that give a percentage like 10%. 3 to 5%. Only half actually give anything. And I'm not sharing this to make anyone feel guilty. I'm sharing this to say, wow. I think it's because we have a fear. It's a fear. Just like walking across this telephone pole at 20 plus feet might be a genuine, real fear. Now, if we didn't have the harness, I wouldn't recommend that. And yet, with the harness, we can do it with tentatively, but we can do it. We fall off, guess what? We're there. We're caught. We're okay. One of the things I've always appreciated from scouts and in youth ministries when we would do some of these high ropes course to challenge students and to help them learn to lean on each other and lean on God, and you would see their faces just light up. Like, I did this. Like, oh my goodness. And as I was preparing for this message, I said, you know, how often have many of us not been given the opportunity to really trust the Lord, to challenge him in our giving? Let me say something a little bit differently, if you will. See, when it comes to the law of the harvest, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. If we sow generously, if we are scattering the seed, we're giving, and we're giving, and we're giving. It's not even about, do I have enough in the bank account? It really isn't. See, generosity isn't a set limit in the bank account. Generosity is a condition of the heart. So where are you in trying to serve and be generous to others? This is not a plea. Please hear me. This is an invitation to discipleship. I can talk with people about how important it is to pray, and we can talk about what different types of prayer and how to pray and how to be open to God's movement. We can talk about how to read God's word and how to engage in God's mission in the world. But when we talk about finances, it just seems like, whoa, wait a minute, this doesn't seem very spiritual. See, sometimes we look at money, because money is sometimes very emotional. We look at money in an emotional capacity. And sometimes we hear things, whether it be one of our wonderful partnerships with the Real Life Children's Ranch out in Okeechobee, that's standing in the gap for over 20 children that have been absolutely experiencing hell on earth, and their families have been legally removed from them, and they are trying to teach them God's love and show them God's love. And that pulls on heartstrings. And we want to give and continue to give. And we're going to continue to give as a church. And I encourage you individually. But it's just those things that pull on us. And that's normal and natural. But that's emotional too. What would it look like if we actually had a plan to give? That we could say, Lord, it's not about, Lord, am I giving too much? Instead asking, am I sowing too little? What would God do if we really believed he was going to do something bigger? See, giving, again, should not be reactive. It shouldn't be something we just do because, again, just that heartstring has been pulled. And there's nothing wrong with giving when God prompts us. We need to be open to that. We need to be receptive of that. But how does that work? How can we be open and yet know, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? See, faith is like a muscle. And God's going to put us in situations to stretch that muscle. He's going to stretch that muscle so it can get stronger. Giving, there's no other spiritual discipline I've ever come across. That giving allows that muscle to really be stretched. All the other things build it for that moment. Our praying, our reading scripture, our serving, our leading in ministry, all the things we give to God's kingdom, our time, our talent, our energy, it's all prepared for when we actually do either write a check or do an online gift or put cash in the offering plate, whatever it may be, to see, Lord, do I trust you? Do I trust you? Folks, this is, I know pastors that freak out about talking about money with their congregations. They panic, they hate it, because again, money, and again, for those of you that are guests, that are first-time guests, please understand, this is not a conversation for you. You get a chance to hear about what God requires of Christians, but this isn't something about where you're at right now. This is, in fact, when we hand out the offering plate today, if you're a guest, you're not allowed to give. If I see any of these red jackets open up, I'm calling you out. I will look at your name tags and I'll call you out. Don't you dare. That's not why you're here. God wants to bless you in a whole different way. It's not about that. God doesn't need your money, but he wants your heart. And he knows usually what has our heart is really close to our checkbook or to our bank account. It's amazing how that really works. So back to, if you will, giving should not be reactive. Giving should be relational. It's about a relationship with the Lord, about surrendering all to him. When you say yes to Jesus, you say, yes, Lord, now what's the question? And we're about that when it comes to, okay, I need to help others. We're about that when it, okay, I can do that on Sunday morning. I'll go to a Bible study maybe on Wednesday or Thursday or maybe the best time on Tuesday at 11. Whatever you may do. Sorry, that's an inside joke. That's when I do the Bible study. Sorry. Anyway, just a joke. Bad joke, but just a joke. But the reality is it's about a relationship. It's about letting God have all of it. Giving is an invitation from God to be involved in our finances. Now, here I want to give you an out. There's two things. One, there's only one thing that I have ever found in Scripture that it says, test me in this. It's in money and giving. That's it. Everything else is don't test me. Don't test me. But he says, test me in my in giving. You can't outgive me. And two, and this is a different one. When, if you think you have been better at your finances than God can be, then don't worry about it. But usually in life, when the relationships totally bottom comes out, when life and problems, boom, work issues, boom, bottom comes out, God, please help, we need your help. When it comes to finances, until the bottom comes out. And then we're like, dear Lord, you need to provide. We need your help like yesterday. Help with that organization that wants me and my money and my house and everything else. Dear Lord, help. Why is it that we have to wait till it gets to that point? Why not get him involved in your relationship and with your finances before it hits the bottom, before it comes out? If you think you're better at your finances without God, keep going where you're going. But if you want to grow in your faith and your relationship with the Lord and you want him involved in your finances, it's time to start thinking about and praying about, Lord, what do you want me to give? It's not because God needs your money. Let me say that crystal clear. Don't get me wrong, and it's great. We're coming up to our 20 years here very soon of this church being founded. 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, there was a group of people that started to meet and pray. And then they, as they gathered together and they said, Lord, what do you want for us? They felt, okay, Lord's leading us in this area. And they started meeting in a home and then at Manatee Academy and then broke ground here. It started with a group of people who believe that God could and should be engaged in this community. And they grew in leaps and bounds. There's a gentleman named James. Some of you know him. He's in the hospital. He was going to rehab, I think, yesterday. But I was talking to him in the hospital this week, and he just was just saying how excited he was for our church. And I said, really? He goes, yeah, I love that church. I said, I'm really glad. I said, the church loves you too, James. And then I found out yesterday that he was a founding member, and I had no idea. Now, if I'm wrong, don't tell me, just everyone, if I'm wrong. Just let me believe that. But the reality is, here's a man who loves the Lord. And he's a funny guy. He will tell you things that you're going, I don't know if that's really, why'd you tell me that? It's just, he's funny. He says things, he doesn't, sometimes socially, he says things, you're like, I don't know if that's a joke. That's a joke, right? Anyway, he's a hilarious guy, but you would just not know how generous of a guy he is. He really is someone who loves the Lord, even though sometimes he doesn't know how to show it. He loves the Lord. He knows God is faithful. Where are you at, and are you struggling, if you will? Because giving, and it shouldn't be this compelling thing, this I have to, or oh, I feel so guilty. Again, I want you to get a free pass. You do. You can smile as you pass that offering plate. If you're like, I'm feeling guilty, don't give. It's okay. Now, finance team are going, no, give. Here's why I say this, is because in the scripture it says pretty clearly, giving should be done cheerfully, not fearfully, not because you're under some compulsion, but because you know the generosity of God and you want to share the generosity of God with others. So I'm not going to talk to you about all your fears today. We don't have time for all that, for mine too. What I am going to do is talk to you about maybe a plan that actually is really interesting, that Paul doesn't give us like a percentage. There's percentage in the Bible, like a 10% thing in the Old Testament. That's fine. And by the way, if you're nervous right now or you're feeling like, oh, I just want to tune him out, that's okay. We're okay with that. You're not going to offend me. I'd prefer the snoring be kept down, but besides that, I'm good. But one thing I am going to talk to you about, or this last little bit, is the three P's. And consider where you're at when it comes to giving. Now, this is for committed Christians. This is for people who are wanting to serve and partner with God's plan. And if you've been a covenant partner with us as a church, it's about a partnership, about the ministry partners. We support missionaries down in Mexico you heard about this past year. We support Missionary Flights International you heard last week, 2 weeks ago. And then last week you heard about our partnership with Campus Crusade for Christ. You heard about Real Life Children's Ranch and what God's doing through them, through our partnership about a month and a half ago. You've also heard about our school, and you continue to hear about our school and how blessing it is to the families that go to it, as well as to us, believe it or not. Yes, it is a lot of work, and yes, God bless them. They do great stuff. All the paintings and stuff back there, the finger paint, you should check it out. All the teachers did those. They're coming along. But the reality is, it's about us working together, partnering together. Now, the three P's are this: priority giving. Maybe you've never made giving a priority. Maybe you try to live on what you have. You know, you got to pay this, you got to pay that, you got to get the food, and then you give on whatever the rest is. What would it look like if you started from the first part and said, Lord, I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to give first from what you've given me, and then live on the rest. What if God, it's kind of like this in scripture, kind of, this is how it paints a picture, if you will. And I, for a modern example of this, financial planner. God's asked us to be financial planners. Now, the financial planner is this. He says, I'm going to pay you 90% of what you make, and I only want 10% back. Now, if we had a financial planner like that, we'd what's going on here, right? We don't pay our financial planners that much. And yet God's like, listen, I just want 10%. Now, 10% might seem like a huge amount for a lot of people. That's what I'm saying. Instead of jumping too far, that might be too big a step, make it priority, first thing you do. And see how God, his math, just works in ways you can't even imagine. It's really amazing to see him work what he does. Second P, if you will, is percentage giving. And if you're giving 10%, and again, it's about stretching our faith. If you've been giving 10%, praise the Lord. If you've been giving 10% for, say, 20 years, guess what? Your faith's probably not been stretched very much, because he stretches it to make it grow. And maybe if 10% is easy, maybe you need to go to 11. Maybe you go to 12. But the percentage giving could be you make it a priority to give, you give the first, but you're like, oh, but I don't know about a percent. I've never done that before. Maybe start with 1%. What would 1%? Test God in it. Try him. Try him for 6 weeks. If you don't think it's that God's been working in your finances and blessing you in your relationship, you can stop. Send me a note, say, you were wrong. I will be happy to take it. I will keep it. I will post it. I'll let others know. Apparently, I was wrong. I've challenged other people to do this. I've never had anyone tell me that. It's interesting how that works. And then progressive giving. Sorry. And that's that part where, okay, Lord, we've been given 1% for the last 5 years. Maybe it's time to go to 2. How do we need to increase this? How do we need to trust this? See, again, giving is an invitation to have God involved in our finances. Next week, you're going to have an amazing opportunity to hear this challenge from someone who sits with you guys, to hear how we're really those financial planners. We're stewards of what God has given us. It's not ours. It's all his anyways. So what's it look like to be, again, casting out the seed? If we were farmers, we wouldn't say we can't cast out seed because, oh, what will happen if we don't, you know, the harvest isn't good. You can't harvest something unless you actually sow seed. It's just not possible. And yet, why are we afraid to let God have influence in our finances? Something to pray about. My prayer for you this week is that you would start the discussions with the Lord, between you and the Lord. If your family's here, then definitely talk with them about it. Pray about it and be open. I don't want you to in any way to make any decisions right now. We're not looking for anything emotional. We just want you to make a plan and ask God, where do you want me to give, to sow seed? We believe All Villages obviously is something that's important with the ministries and missions that we're a part of, but it doesn't always have to be just to our church too. It's about your faith being stretched. Where is your frontline ministry? Where has God placed you? Maybe your frontline's working with homeless people. Maybe your frontline's working with grandkids or school children. Where has God placed you? We want you to know that he cares so much about you where he has you. It's just so important. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your challenge to us to be generous in our sowing. To rely on you, Lord, takes immense amount of faith. We just don't know maybe how you're going to do it. We can't imagine what you're trying to do in us and through us. And yet, Lord, we know you want to. You want to help us know you and trust you more. And so may we do that. Guide us in our prayers. Guide us in our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to have open ears, eyes to see, and heart to believe. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.